Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. A prominent religious magazine has observed, American state-supported schools are as officially secular and materialistic as are their counterparts in communist countries. Then the question is raised, are we awakening? Well, yes, we are awake, and we believe the American people, too, are awakening. In Ohio holding rallies, students came from one of the colleges where Madeline Murray was once a student but was expelled. These young people, like so many others, were taught to believe that church-state separation demanded the Bible and prayer be kept out of the public schools. But when we went on to relate what happened in Russia and how a suit filed by Madeline Murray to take tax exemption privileges from the churches, which could lead to the closing down of thousands of churches in America, one of the students stood up to urge, "You should get this message across America." Well, friends, that is what we should like to do. We feel that America must be awakened, aroused, and stirred to action. This is a critical point in the history of our country, and what we do must be done now. Well, recently, one morning, as we awakened, the Lord indicated to us the time has come to expand this ministry. Most of these radio messages are prepared as a result of the Lord awakening us. No matter what time of the day or night, we go to our office and begin to write because we know it's God's message. Well, we're hearing much these days about the separation of church and state. Just before the Supreme Court handed down its decision banning prayer and Bible reading in the public schools, the Chief Justice of our highest court, the Honorable Earl Warren, declared that the separation of church and state is a guarantee of freedom. By keeping church and state separate, observed Warren, the country ensures that its people will remain free to worship as they choose. Well, do we all agree? We accept in substance the principle stressed by the Chief Justice. But when narrowed down, the separation of church and state becomes an excuse for the propagation of atheism. Madeline Murray says, "The separation of church and state demands that they pay taxes." For those who strongly advocate the doctrine of separation of church and state, it should be pointed out that nowhere are these words to be found in our Constitution. However, when testifying before the House Judiciary Committee, we quoted to the congressman from the Soviet Constitution, Article 124, which declares, quote, "In the Soviet Union, the church is separate from the state." Now, many well-meaning persons have never stopped to think what is going to happen if we continue on the path that we're now going without considering the end result, where this road will take us. For to carry this idea of separation of church and state to its extreme, as is now being done, will ultimately bring us to the place where, as in Russia, the emphasis is on all state and no church. When America, those loudly advocating separation of church and state rightfully want to see protection from church domination. But the fear is maintained that we are slowly and gradually denying God in the public life of our nation, so that ultimately we may have all state and no church. Surely, then they would be separate. Well, John Edgerton of the University of Florida points out, "The relationship of church and state in America breeds an endless number of puzzling ironies and contradictions. For instance, the same court that banned prayer and Bible reading in public schools has approved Sunday blue laws, both in the name of separation of church and state." Well, those who favor a Christian amendment to the Constitution emphasize, quote, "Church and state must be kept separate so far as government and organization are concerned. The church should never interfere with the state in political affairs, neither should the state ever interfere with the church, unless through its practices it is interfering with public morals." Well, now, if the church is to be totally secular, then it should not become mixed up with politics, promoting legislation, no matter how good it may be. But we believe it is the church's duty to uphold standards of righteousness. For that reason, we loudly join our voices with those favoring acknowledgments of God in the classroom and in public life. As the Apostle Paul points out in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, in referring to the state's relation to God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Now here the apostle is saying that government get their authority from God. So you can't separate God from the state. The state was never meant to be a secular institution. It may surprise some to learn that 45 of our 50 states now make religious acknowledgments in their constitutions. But that does not unite any church with the state. Congressman Kramer of Florida in the Congressional Record quotes Bishop John J. Russell, who said in Washington, "Thank God our Constitution forbids the state setting up or favoring any particular form of religion. But that separation of church and state, which we all cherish in our country, never meant the divorce of government from religion or the separation of law from morality." When we testified in Washington, we felt led to propose an amendment that would clearly define the position of this nation in contrast to those countries which have gone on record as opposing God. For instance, the communist salute is a raised fist toward God. Why couldn't we in America affirm our faith in Almighty God? So we propose the following: that acknowledgement of Almighty God shall ever be held in a preferred position in our public and national life. Thus, in future cases seen coming before the Supreme Court, the decisions would favor God and not the atheists seen trying to take God out of our public and national life. Now, some may question whether such an amendment would adequately give recognition to Jesus Christ. We think so, for we believe that Jesus is truly God. Back in 1874, the Congress was called upon to consider a similar amendment. But try as we have, we've been unable to locate the actual text of this proposed amendment then being considered. Well, there is now and has been since 1947 a resolution in the Congress referred to as the Christian Amendment. This amendment goes so far as to give recognition specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's tremendous. Now, this amendment, proposed jointly by 7 congressmen, and now before the 88th Congress, declares, quote, "This nation devoutly recognizes the authority and law of Jesus Christ, Savior and ruler of our nation, through whom are bestowed the blessings of Almighty God." Well, don't you think it's wonderful to have men in our government who are interested in exalting Jesus Christ, honoring God as supreme in the life of our nation? Well, it may surprise some of you to know that this amendment to the Constitution was proposed back in 1947 and has been regularly introduced in the Congress. So don't feel, because the legislative wheels grind slowly, that there is no prospect for such an amendment. Again, we say that if the American people were aroused and were awakened, if we had the opportunity, for instance, of being on 500 stations every week, I feel certain we may have had action by now on some amendment that would have permitted such practices as prayer and Bible reading in the public schools, and would protect other God-honoring practices now in danger of disappearing from our American way of life. Now, the Christian Amendment, of which we have just spoken, has already been approved and is enthusiastically endorsed and supported by such representative groups and individuals as the National Association of Evangelicals, the moderators of 4 Presbyterian Assemblies, the General Secretary of the Assembly of God, editors and educators in the Baptist, Methodist, Christian, Nazarene, Mennonite, and other church denominations. Dr. Peter Marshall, while chaplain of the U.S. Senate, urged the adoption of this amendment. In his Washington church, which happened to be the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, Dr. Marshall declared, quote, "It is strange and I believe tragic that the Constitution makes no reference to God." Said Dr. Marshall, "Many efforts have been made at different times to introduce such an amendment, but there has been opposition and indifference. So to this good day, the Constitution of our country ignores the principles upon which our country was founded." Well, my friends, there's still time to write and to impress your congressman with the need of the adoption of some kind of an amendment. You may have written before, but as Congressman Becker declared before the Congress, to move this amendment, referring to his own amendment, one letter is not enough. One resolution is not enough. One sermon, one protest is not enough. A continuing barrage of protests must be mounted until the Congress releases it to the people for action in the states. It must be realized that because of the overemphasis on the separation of church and state, many are of the opinion that great harm would result from any constitutional amendment. But this cannot be true, friends. To affirm faith in Almighty God or Jesus Christ or to permit voluntary prayer and Bible reading in public schools does not destroy the true concept of separation of church and state. The Reverend Samuel E. Boyle, D.D., asks, "How much better are we in America since the U.S. Supreme Court banned Bible reading and prayer from our schools than are the Christian citizens in communist China or Russia?" Says Dr. Boyle, "It is only a matter of time. The same power which forbids the Word of God in our public schools can eventually demand that all children take public school education. Christian schools, Protestant or Catholic, can and will be ruled illegal by a state which dares to rule out the Bible and prayer from its corporate life and the preparatory schools of its citizens." Dr. Boyle makes this pointed observation, that long before the communists gained control of China, the secular forces of the nationalist government passed a law that no Chinese school registered with the government could teach any religion. Today in Red China, no schools that teach religion are permitted to exist. But Dr. Boyle, in steadfastly supporting an amendment to the Constitution, says, "We defy any critic to show how our proposal in any way violates the principle of separation of church and state." Well, a revolution of the most dreadful consequence is taking place today. It's a revolt against God. And to win this battle for God takes courage and faith and the united efforts of us all.
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down? His eyes are blazed with many crowns. Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
Will you be ready?